praying about and trying to put together something to speak on tonight, and I just want to get a couple things across. When looking at the scriptures, sometimes you find difficult scriptures, or you find that you have a friend that believes something totally different than you do, and they're a Christian. For example, some believe you can't lose your salvation, others believe you can lose your salvation. And you go, how can that be? And then you have the people say, I can interpret the Bible any way you want. And that some people, and that you can. You can pick it up and make it say. Then you got the guys that write books on the secret code. Count every 5 Hebrew letters and circle it and put it together, and you wind up with Bill Clinton loves girls or something, you know. Yeah. You know, it's really, that was in a book, by the way. That's all nonsense. There's no mysterious things there. God's word is clear and precise. And the original audience, the people who originally heard it, would have understood it. But yet there's things in our day, in 21st century America, we kind of don't think like those folks do. And so when we're reading along and all of a sudden we get to a difficult passage, we're applying a mind that's been cultured in 21st century. And it can make that passage difficult. So yeah, there are difficult passages in the scripture, and there are reasons for it. And I wanted to try to give you a pattern outline to follow. Certainly, overall, and while we're looking at this, we're going to look at 5 chapters of Hebrews in about 20 minutes. But the point is going to be repetitive. And you're going to be understanding because it leads to chapter 6. And there are all kinds of interpretations of chapter 6. It's considered a difficult passage. But if you look at how it goes from verse 1 and how it ends up before chapter 6, you'll get an idea of what he's talking about. Now, in any book you look at, you find that who is he talking to? And as you look in the book of Hebrews, he's talking to Jewish guys, familiar with the law, because he's using all Jewish stuff to teach them. And when you read the book of Hebrews, you've got to be careful you don't put New Testament stuff into it, or else you'll misunderstand what he's talking about. But they're talking about Jews, and some of them are believers, and some of them aren't. Just like when we come to church on Sunday morning, some of the people here are believers, and some of them aren't. We don't like to think that, but that's true. People will come to churches for different reasons. Some like the people. Some like the atmosphere. Some like the music. Some like the preaching. There's all kinds of different. Some make business connections when they come to church. Some people just like to be around the people that hear. So there's all kinds of reasons. That doesn't necessarily mean they're believers. But these guys, we're going to talk about listening to God. 2 weeks ago, I talked about if you truly fear God and you say that he's all knowledge, he's all powerful, he's all wisdom, he's all love, he's all these wonderful things, why not listen to him? And that's a challenge for every single one of us. Because that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is going to challenge his audience to listen to God through Jesus Christ. I want to read out of Deuteronomy, and you don't have to turn there because you're probably familiar, but when God is talking to Moses, he says, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen. Like you, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak them all that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of them. God will hold us accountable. So God's going to raise up a prophet. In fact, all the prophets were like that, modeled after Moses. They spoke the word of God, and God held the people accountable for it. So the question from the beginning to that, are we listening to God speak as we read his word? Or are we don't read our Bible much, we don't even take our Bible to church, we're not meditating on the word of God, we're not thinking about the word of God, we're just kind of going through life in a 21st century way, compartmentalizing our lives. Now, when you get to the New Testament, and you get to the transfiguration or Jesus' baptism, and he comes up out of the water, and the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. As you read through the book of John, Jesus proclaims, I can do nothing on my own. I can only do the things I see the Father doing. And the Father loves me, therefore the Father shows me all things that he is doing. And then he has another verse. I can do nothing on my own. I can only speak the words the Father has taught me. Sound familiar from Deuteronomy? Jesus was being taught by the Father the words that the Father wanted him to speak. And then at the Transfiguration, he says, this is my beloved. He's standing there with two prophets, Elijah and Moses. And the Father speaks again. He says, this is my beloved Son. You know what else he said? Listen to him. This is all coming from Deuteronomy. There's more stuff. I'm skipping over a lot. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. In my Sunday school class, this is all review for you. So I figured I'd sacrifice my Sunday school class guys here tonight for a review. But we're looking at Hebrews, and we're going to look at one of the things that helps us to understand what is being taught in the book is follow the thinking, and I call it cognitive context, cognitive thinking. Cognitive context, what is the thinking of the writer? He's not just blanked out going into some trance someplace and trying to come up with something. He's thinking of something. He's a great teacher, and he's putting things where God wants him to put them, but he's starting off right in the beginning. What is the first word in the book of Hebrews? God. Good place to start. After he spoke, that's key, that word spoke. After he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. God speaking. That's the first thought that this writer puts in your brain is God spoke. And who did he speak to? The fathers. Who were the fathers? Jewish guys. The patriarchs. And how did he do it? With prophets. And what were other means? Different ways. Miracles, visions, dreams, all those kinds of things. He spoke, and that's the first idea the teacher puts in your brain is what he wants you to hang on to. And you'll see, hopefully you can see that in a few moments I try to race through this. So he says, and in these last days, what's the thing say now? He has spoken to us in his Son. All right? We're still speaking. We spoke in the past through the prophets. God spoke through the prophets through many different ways. And now in these days, he's speaking to us by his Son. All right? And what did he say at the Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now, when you hear the word listen in the Bible, it means obey. It doesn't just mean, okay, yeah, I got it. It means obey. They don't put a bridge there. Well, I heard what he said. Did you? It's like I use this example because it's imprinted in my brain. When my mother was 2 inches away from my face correcting me for something, she said, do you hear me? And my ears were going, ooh, ooh, ooh. I said, yeah, I hear you. But what did she mean? Are you going to obey me is what she meant. Don't beat your sister up anymore or something. I can't remember what I was doing. Something along those lines. Don't fight with your sisters. I have 4 sisters, so I had to defend myself. All right. And then we get into the superiority of Christ as the first part of this book opens up. Talks about why should I listen to the Son? And so he talks about sonship. He talks about look at the stuff he says. Verse 3, and he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, upholds all things by what? The word of his power. There's the word coming in there again. Kind of logically makes sense. If this is who's speaking to me, what should I do? Listen. It's kind of simple. It's not hard. So he goes through and he talks about how Jesus is superior to angels. Why does he pick out angels? Angels were those various ways that God spoke to people. The angels would be sent. They were messengers, ministers of fire, and they would speak to the people in different ways, same as the prophets. And by the way, the Jewish Gnostics held these angels way up here. They were way up there. And so he quickly puts those angels down below Christ, because Christ is the exact representation of the nature of God. And so he goes through that, and he talks about all of that stuff. And as we go down through, we get to chapter 2. And again, Christ is superior to angels. Now, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard. All right, we've heard something. We better pay close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. See, you can start to see that pattern starting. Are we listening to God, or are we listening and then drifting away? Are we the seed that falls on the rocky soil that immediately receives the word, but what happens? They have no root. When the sun comes up, pff, gone. Or the seed, or the word of God who's planted, and it falls on thorny grounds, and it springs up, and immediately receives it again. But what happens? The trials and the troubles of the world, psh, gone. Don't drift away from what you heard, because the word you heard is from the one who's superior to angels. All right, and then he says, for if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received just recompense, God held people accountable for what angels had announced, then what's the logical line is, how then shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation after it was first spoken through the Lord and it was confirmed by those who heard? See, there's speaking and hearing and confirming. The thought process, the cognitive process. Are we listening to God? Do we hear God? Or are we drifting away from what we've heard? Because how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? No, it's not saved yet. You're not saved. He's telling them, don't neglect it. Don't neglect what you've heard. Notice this, verse 4. God also bearing witness with them with both signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. That's significant, because the message throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament of Christ, what verified the message in the messenger? Wonders, works of the Holy Spirit. All of these things were doing that. And what did Jesus do? He healed people. He fed people. He cast demons out of people. And he spoke. What was happening? He was verifying the message with the messenger. Remember, he said, I only do the things I see the Father doing. All that stuff he did was what the Father does. So, listen to him. All right, and he goes, I'm going to zip down through here. He's talking about angels again. I'm jumping down into 3, okay? There's more stuff about Christ in there, but I can't go through all these verses. Let's keep in the theme of hearing and believing. Keep that theme in mind. And because of all the wonderful things Jesus has done at the end of chapter 2, therefore, holy brethren, he's not talking about saved people there. Holy brethren are who? Jews. They were called by God and set apart by God as God's chosen people. That's who he's talking about. Notice what he says about these. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly call, consider Jesus. If they're already saved, they already have considered Jesus. So that's not what he's talking about. He's telling these Jewish guys to consider Jesus. And that's to hold your mind on, is the idea. Think it through. Hold your mind on. Seek through it. Jesus, and look what he calls Jesus, the apostle. What's an apostle? One sent out by God. How many times do you read in the Gospels that Jesus is always saying what? I was sent from the Father. I was sent from the Father. I was sent from the Father. That aggravated the Jews. Because being sent by the Father meant what? God listened to him. I can't listen to this guy. He's telling the people stuff different than I am. But that great apostle, he came from God, and that's what he wants these guys to consider. Consider Jesus who came from the Father. And then he links this to him. apostle, a high priest of our confession. He throws that in there. That's to link them to what he's saying. He was faithful, verse 2, he is faithful to him who appointed him as Moses was in all his house. Was Moses faithful in the household of God? The household of God is who? Israel. And he was faithful. And what did Moses do? He proclaimed the word of the Lord to the people. And remember what the people said? All that you say, we will do. That sounds like they're listening to God. How'd that work out? They didn't. Now, what did they see? Could you imagine these people? That God is speaking from the mountain is scaring the life out of them. And they say to Moses, Moses, you go up and talk to God. Because if we listen to him anymore, he's going to kill us. Talk about witnessing and experience the power of God when he spoke to them the law to the point where they're afraid they're going to die. And they then turned the responsibility over to Moses. And Moses was a faithful servant. And we can look at the life of Moses. Did Moses do what God commanded him to do? And the answer is yes. He was faithful, for he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Now Christ is being elevated above Moses. You better listen. If you listen to Moses, you better listen to Christ. Just as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which are spoken late, which were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful as a son, not a servant, as a son over God's house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence of the boast of our hope firm until the end. Now, this is where it can get a little different. Moses is faithful over Israel. Well, these guys are all Israel. Jesus is faithful over his house. Who's his house? Believers. All right? So, this group of people, if you're not a believer yet, you need to listen to the guy who's the head of the house of the believers, just like Moses was the head of the house of Israel. All right. Notice the connection, though. In verse 8, what is the next thing he says? He's quoting Old Testament. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me and in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation. I said, they will always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, you see, now he goes back to the history part of it. He showed them works and wonders. How many years? 40 years. Nehemiah tells us that God had put the Holy Spirit in the midst of people. And he spoke and taught the people the Holy Spirit through the prophets. They were experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. See where he's going with this? Because you get to chapter 6, you're going to find the Holy Spirit mentioned there. And you got and people connected immediately to Christians. It can't be. The Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament. I'm sorry for you guys that don't think he was. But he was there. He is the power of God. How does a Jew know that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And the Spirit went forth across the face of the earth. What do you think they thought the Spirit of God was? The breath of God, the power to create, the power of God. He was there. And whenever power is displayed anywhere in the Scripture, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got more on that, but I got to move along. What time is it? Ooh, man, I've got to go fast. Notice, though, he tells them, don't be like your fathers who harden their heart. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. He's encouraging those guys in that group, those people in that group who haven't trusted Christ. He told them in the beginning of the chapter to consider Jesus Christ the apostle, high priest, and now he's telling them, don't be like the fathers. They saw the miracles. They saw the wonders. They heard the voice of God. And they didn't listen. They didn't listen. And these things fit us too. All the things we've experienced as New Testament believers. Are we listening to God? That's the question as we go through this. Okay, he's talking about, I'm going to jump down, there's so much here. Today, verse 15, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me in the wilderness. And I'm going to jump down to 19. And so you see that they were not able to enter the rest of God because of unbelief. They did not believe what God had said. Now, let's look at 4. Therefore, let us fear lest while the promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. See the encouragement being done here? I should go back to 3:13, and it says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it still is called a day, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. That means I listened. That means I believed. And so these brothers are encouraging those other guys, you got to trust Christ. You got to listen to Christ. Don't be like the fathers. They saw the miracles. They saw the wonders, and they did not believe Christ. So we get to 4, and he continues that same line. Don't fall short of it. Short of salvation. Not having salvation and falling out of it. It's short of salvation because you're not listening to Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Okay, so when we get down through 4, notice chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word that they, what? Heard, did not profit them, because it wasn't united by faith in those who heard. Simple. What are you doing with what you hear from God? Remember the commercials on E.F. Hutton? You know, all these guys yakking in this room, and when E.F. Hutton speaks, then the whole commercial got quiet because they wanted to listen. Do we want to hear God as badly as we should in this example? These guys are talking about coming to know Christ. We've come to know Christ. Do we desire to hear God as we read the Scripture? Do we desire God's guidance and direction each and every day? How important is it to us? Is it important enough to turn the TV off and read, or get up in the morning and read the Word of God, pray through the Word of God? Just, these are just questions. Notice verse 3. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, I'm going to have to jump. Going to jump because I'm almost out of time. So as that brings us up to, and he jumps into the high priest. Remember, he told him about, he says, consider Jesus the apostle, the one sent with salvation. Now he's talking about the high priest, and that's what chapter 5 is about, the fact that Jesus Christ is the high priest. Are we listening? And that brings us up to chapter 6. And again, chapter 6, I don't have much time to do this. I'm just going to challenge you. At the end of 5, he kind of tells them they become dull of hearing. They're talking about, he says, for this time you ought to be teachers, having need again someone teach you the elemental principles, that's the law of the oracles of God. And you have come need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk only is not accustomed to what kind of word? Word of righteousness. This is not talking to them about being babes in Christ. This is talking to them being babes in intellectual information about the Bible. They should have known, they should have come to the point where they were teachers, because they had the oracles of God, they had the law of God, they had all these things that this writer is challenging them with. They had all that. But you're still babes. You're not educated. You're dull of hearing. You haven't heard what we're saying. And so when he gets through that, he says, though, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That's a whole different level. So as we get down through here, he says this in verse 4, chapter 6. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. And then if have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame." All right, that's the difficult verse. And what makes it difficult, if you do not understand 1 through 5, you're going to be in trouble in this. And you have only two choices. One, you believe that this is talking about Christians and you believe you can lose your salvation. If you believe this is talking about Christians, you lose your salvation. And it's impossible for you to repent again, you're done. Now, there are some variations off of that. So, is he talking about losing your salvation? If salvation is totally, completely of God, as Donnie has wonderfully preached, we can undo the power of God? That's kind of arrogant to believe you could lose your salvation. So, was it really talking about losing your salvation? Up to this point in the previous chapters, these guys haven't got it yet. And he's encouraging them to get it. They haven't got it yet. Don't drift away from what you have heard. That's what they're falling away from, what they have heard. And so, what does it mean to be enlightened? Enlightened simply is to shine a light on. When Jesus was talking on the Sermon on the Mount, he was shining light on darkness. Whenever Jesus spoke, he was shining light on darkness. Whenever the prophets spoke, they were shining light on darkness. The people had no excuse. God held them accountable for what they'd heard because the prophet told them truth. "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." That is a true statement. And when you hear it, you either believe it is true or you reject it. So it doesn't mean you haven't been enlightened. If you hear the word of God, the light has been shining on you. And if you reject it, then you've been rejected it because you have been told the truth. That's how God holds us accountable. We're not talking about illumination of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about enlightened to the truth. Have tasted of the heavenly gift. Taste of the heavenly gift, that's the message. The gift that comes from heaven is Jesus Christ. They have tasted of it. Now, talking about taste came up last week. What it means from the Hebrews point of view is taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. It's a discernment tool because you can taste and see if something is what? Bad. So it's the concept of tasting to see if something is good or not. So if I say taste and see that the Lord is good, I'm inviting you to taste Christ to discern whether he's good or he's not good. But I'm inviting you to see that he's good. Notice that word good shows up in here again. He says, taste of the heavenly, have tasted of the heavenly gift. Heavenly gift, that's, look at this. Miracle bread in the Old Testament. Manna, they all ate it. They ate of the heavenly gift that came from God. But what did Jesus, when Jesus came, Jesus told them what? "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have none of me." Now, that's more than tasting. That's not tasting to discern whether it was good or evil. That's and consume Jesus Christ, be nurtured by Jesus Christ. And they had a decision to make. Now, what are those guys called in chapter 6 of John? They're called disciples. And they said, "This statement is too hard. We can't eat your flesh, we can't drink your blood." That's a too hard of a statement. And it said, many of his disciples walked away from him that day. Jesus then says to Peter, "You're going to go too?" Peter's answer is the right answer. Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. We need to listen to you. We need to eat of you. We need to eat the words. And we've been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. 10 lepers are healed. How many come back to thank Jesus? One. Over 5,000 people fed by miracle bread and fish. Most of them walked away from Christ. They were enlightened to the truth. They tasted of a miracle. They actually participated in a miracle of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they still rejected Christ. That's what you're talking about. Oh, man, the wind blew my book away. I have just a little more, and then I'll let you stew on this for a while. Partakers of the Holy Spirit. Again, Nehemiah is clear that the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament working amongst the people. So is Jeremiah, because they, not Jeremiah, Isaiah 63 will tell you the same thing. He's back in there, and he was teaching them, and they were grieving him. They grieve the Holy Spirit. Those kinds of things. The Spirit, the power of God was experienced by them. And then he said, and have tasted of the, there's that word taste, tasted of the good word of God. Tasted. Discerned that the word of God is good. Now what do you have to do? Listen. So what they're falling away from is not salvation. They're falling away from what they've heard. Where are they falling to? I'm almost done. These are Jews. Where are they going to fall to? If they fall away from Christ, where are they going to fall to? Yeah, they're going back to the sacrifices. That's where they're being pulled from. Paul and the apostles are constantly battling Judaizers who said you have to become Jewish first before you can become a believer. Always. And they and the Gnostics. We're always battling in those guys. And this is where they were going to go. If I'm going to leave Christ, I'm going back into the Jewish system. Now, the rest of the book of Hebrews tells us what about the Jewish system? It's only a shadow. Jesus already has proven to be superior after the order of Melchizedek instead of the Levitical priesthood. Right now, to what that knowledge you have right now. And yet, they got hung up in the system. And the system produced dead works. And not a perfect conscience, but that's a whole other study. Does anybody have any questions? Because I'm over. I encourage you to read through these chapters and take your time. And then if you're reading through and you see words that are repeated, spoken, heard, word, related words, I underline them or circle them in my Bible because it's a map of the interpretation of what the book is talking about. Do the same thing. The words are different, but 1 Peter has some difficult stuff in it too. But you got to go through it. Its context is not five verses ahead and five verses below the verse. It's the book is the context. And that's true with Hebrews. The book is the context. You got to understand that. We talk about the context and understanding it. You won't understand it if you go a couple verses above and below. It's the book that's the context. Okay. I still got a lot more. No, I'm going to say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's living and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit. It's powerful. It lays bare our life. It lays bare our lives before us, and it lays bare our life before you. The thoughts and the intents of our heart are clearly seen through the reading and the study of your word. It's a powerful book, Lord, and by it we are changed. You prayed that we would be sanctified in truth, and then you clearly said, thy word is truth. That's what we want, Lord. We want to be sanctified in your word, in truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to follow that way, truth, and life, and it's found in your living word. Our only rule of faith and practice. So empower us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to encourage each other while still today. Help us to encourage each other to be in the Word, pray through the Word, live the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and have a nice evening. And go home.